Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber. Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber. Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber. Elhamdülillah, nehmaduhu ve nesta'inuhu ve nestehdiyuhu ve nestağfiruhu. Ve na'udhu billahi min şururi enfusina ve min seyyiati amalina. İnnehu men yehdihillah fela mudille leh. Ve men yudlil felen tecide lehu veliyen murşida. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله, we are here today for the day of Nahr, the day of Eid al-Adha, the Eid al-Akbar, and we're here to celebrate the remembrance of Sayyidina Ibrahim عليه السلام. And Sayyidina Ibrahim has a very big relevance to the Islamic tradition, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to revive the Abrahamic way, because he was in a time where there was full of shirk and full of idols and full of idol worship. He came to revive the concept of ad-din al-hanif, hanif, which is of being completely clear within oneself of reliance on anything else but Allah, only understanding that there is only real one mover and shaker in the world is Allah. People say the movers and shakers of the world, the big corporations, the media, the politicians, the one mover and shaker is Allah. And the problem that some of us encounter, and for good reasons, we see problems in the world, we feel that there's a sense of, I need to do something to change it. And I'm weak, and what do I do? There's a lot of confusion. Ibrahim came to show us, alayhi salam, came to show us how to have a clear vision. So today we want to just take a few reflections upon the story of Abraham alayhi salam, but how to relate them to today's world and how the times we're living in. Now, Eid is supposed to be a day of joy as well. So we want to have joyous time with our family, and Prophet Muhammad salam said it's a day of eating and drinking and having fun with your family. Because at the time of Prophet Muhammad salam, and the Ansar had the tradition that they had two Eids a year as well. So he was talking to them and he said, what Eid did you have? They said, oh, we had this day in Mahragan, and they had names for them. He said, Allah abdalakum bi khayran minhuma. Allah has given you two better ones, Eid al-Adha wa Eid al-Fitr. So it's a day of joy, so if you have any problems with family, retie the problems. If you have any issues you have, get them off your chest, get rid of them. We haven't got long, let's get rid of all the problems, inshallah, make this day a special day. And in the hadith related by Abu Dawood, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that min adam al-ayyam illah, this is the best day of Allah, yawm al-nahri. This is the day of nahr, the day of sacrifice, the day that you do the sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a couple of reflections from the story of Ibrahim. We've read the story, but we'll just take two or three points. The point of which Ibrahim was a youth, he was a young man or young boy even. And it was said in some of the stories that he wasn't even exposed to the world until he was about 12 or 13. So he came into the world and he saw these people worshipping things. And he said, you know the story, somebody worshipping the sun, someone's worshipping the moon, and some people worshipping the stars. He said, إِنِّي ذَهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. So what we want to learn, إِنِّي ذَهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. I will go to my Lord, He will guide me. Don't rely on a sheikh to guide you. Don't rely on a particular country or a particular tradition or a particular madhab or anything to guide you. Allah is the one who guides the heart. There are scholars in the world who have acquired knowledge of the other scholars, but they haven't practiced it. So they're not real scholars. A scholar is a person who practices what they preach. And the guidance is something, again, you can't measure it. Only Allah knows and only you know deep down. So somebody can learn all of the ahkam, all of the rulings, and they can amaze you with all of the things. But the true scholar is someone who's going to help me get through this journey. Because once you die, all of the verse, all of the Qur'ans you have will go. They go to dust. All of the things you've read, they go to dust. Everything goes. What will be left is your heart. And again, from Sayyidina Ibrahim, he came to his Lord how? بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, with a clean heart. And as a problem, a lot of us sometimes we have problems within the heart which prevent us from gaining knowledge. And remember this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning, when it's describing to us the attributes of the hypocrites. The first thing it says, when we say to somebody who we have doubts, well, why are they doing this? They're causing problems. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. So people say, don't cause problems in the world. How do they answer? إذا قيل لهم لا تفسدوا في الأرض قال إنما نحن من المصلحون. They say, oh, we're only trying to rectify. Now just think of the way they answer. They don't answer by saying, well, okay, you said I'm causing a problem. What do you mean by that? Tell me, how have I caused a problem? Let's have a discussion. They answer a criticism with a statement. When anyone answers with a statement, no, they go on a defensive straight away. Why? What have you got to defend? You should ask, what do you mean by that? How have I caused corruption? And then we can get to an understanding. But, I'm a muslihin. Okay, I'm a muslihin. It doesn't mean I haven't gone into your niyyah. Your intention could be good, but the result and the fruit could be evil. You don't mean well. We don't go into the niyyah. Everyone's niyyah, inshallah, is good. We hope and we want people. But there are people with bad niyyah. But we don't judge the niyyah. The niyyah is for Allah. Even the angels can't judge the niyyah. لا يطلع عليه ملك فيكتبه ولا يطلع عليه شيطان فيفسده. Neither an angel can see your niyyah, so he writes it down, gives you a reward. Neither shaitan can see it, so he can try and corrupt it. It's between you and Allah. Only you and Allah know your niyyah. So the first lesson, inshallah, to learn that clean the hearts from all of those perversions and all of those things which prevent us from seeing the truth. One of the du'a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say a lot was Allahumma arini al-ashya' kama hiya. Oh Allah, show me things as they truly are. Because the whole world is smoke and mirrors. You've heard that expression, smoke and mirrors. It's just confusion. News stories and some news is true and it's false and we don't know and conspiracy theories and people are going crazy. What's going on? Allah, Muhammad said, Allahumma arini al-ashya' kama hiya. Show me things as they truly are. And we know the dua as well. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. وَرْزُقْنِ تَبَاعَ وَأَرِنَ الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَرْزُقْنِ اشْتَنَابًا. Oh Allah, show me the truth as truth and allow me to follow it. And show me the false as false and allow me to stay away from it. So that's something we should always be clear of. And Ibrahim started from a young age. And it's important for children as well, to teach our children. I saw somebody once, this is recently, political problems we're having in the Middle East, and they were showing a picture of a particular person saying, this person is evil, this person is good. The parent was showing this to children. And I said, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. Why? Oh, but he is evil. He's killed this. Oh, that's okay. Teach the child to judge for themselves. Teach them what evil is. Teach them what good is. And when they grow up, they will learn. But don't put images into their head. Because then maybe one day, a person who looks like that man will be a leader. Oh, he looks evil to me. Why does he look evil? Oh, because my mom said that when I was younger, somebody looks like him. It confuses people. Bring up children to know the truth. And it's up to them to decide afterwards. So that's an important lesson from youth. To bring up children to have a clean heart. Not to hold grudges. Not to have issues with people. Not to have all of these hatred and animosities and defensive attitudes. And people have different qualities. Some people are naturally easy. And that's the next lesson, which when he had his children at an elderly age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he gave him, his son was Halim. And Ibrahim also is described as being Halim. And Halim is a beautiful attitude to have and a beautiful characteristic. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have it. And some people don't have it naturally, but you can attain it. And we'll get to what Halim is. But some people can attain it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْحِلْمَ بِالْتَحَلُّمْ وَنَّمَا الْعِلْمَ بِالْتَعَلُّمْ. You can attain knowledge by learning. You can attain حِلْم by trying to become حَلِيم. What is حِلْم? The closest word in English is probably forbearance. To be able to be tolerant of things. Not everything gets on your nerves. Every little thing doesn't go your way, you go crazy. Everything you have on it, oh my God, did you see what happened? Calm down. Focus on your local area, yourself to start with. Your local area. Some people are always, any little thing annoys them. Ibrahim and Ismail were Halim. So when he went to Ismail and he said to his son, Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka. I saw in a dream that I am going to slaughter you. Now, again, just a reflection on the concept of dreams. Some of us see dreams and we say, oh, I saw a ru'ya, I saw a dream, it's from Allah, I saw the Prophet. And then we go on to these whole things, and I saw Gabriel, and I saw this, and I saw that. The Quran said, Ibrahim said, Inni ara fil manam. Ara is several times. I've seen several visions. He didn't say, Inni ra'aytu fil manam. Ra'aytu is ru'ya wahda. Okay, that could be one dream. But it could be your own, because some people can dream what they want to. If you think about something long enough, you'll dream your own things. And scientifically it's proven. You can have your dream, you dream what you want to dream. Oh, I saw the Prophet, he said this to me, so it must be true. If you see something that's repeated again and again and again, go to someone who's really knowledgeable, who can tell you what it means. But don't jump to a conclusion. So he said, إِنِّي أَرَفِ الْمَنَامِ. He saw it the first time, he saw it, he didn't say anything. The second time he saw it, he didn't say anything. But he saw it 3, 4, 5, 6 times. إِنِّي أَرَفِ الْمَنَامِ إِنِّي بَحْكَ. So what did the son say? What? You're gonna kill me? He did. Haleem. إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ يَا أَبَتِي. يَا أَبَتِي إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Oh, my abati is a way of a very polite way to say to father. Very light, very kind and pleasant. يَا أَبَتِي إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Do as you please. Do what you're told. Do as you're ordered. So the sacrifice that Ibrahim had to make for his son, that was the biggest sacrifice one could make, your own child. And leaving him also, before when he was young, he left him in the desert and Hagar had to cope for herself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another lesson, tawakkul. We missed the part of Hagar, because Hagar did a huge amount of tawakkul. She believed that sustenance doesn't come from myself. I can't bring it to me. You can't bring it to me. That's why when we do the sa'i in the hajj, the sa'i, yes, take steps. But anyone who has a business will understand, and you've seen it. The older we are, and that's why the sahaba used to say, خير تفسير القرآن الزمان. The best tafsir of Qur'an is time. Because you'll see the signs opening up in front of you, if we pay attention. Because sometimes you strive and you do advertising here and you want to get a particular business and you do this and you do that and then you find subhanAllah the business comes from somewhere else. You've taken that as bad, yes, you've done that, you've done something. But the business will come from somewhere else. Many times you're stuck here, you find a way from there. Allah has His ways. You have to just do tawakkul and carry on. Do it. Don't be lazy, don't say, oh, well I'm going to stay at home and if the money comes it will come. No, that's just playing with Allah's words. Do your best, try hard. If you don't make it, you don't make it. That's what Allah has written for you. But many times you've seen people, very intellectual, very clever, to a poor. And sometimes you see people who are not really very intellectually clever, but they're rich, millionaires, billionaires even. And they say that, I didn't even finish school, and he's a billionaire. So, we have to understand that again, tawakkul ala Allah, tawakkul ala Allah. Don't worry about your job, don't worry about the religion. Allah is preserving the religion. Allah is preserving your sustenance. All He asks of you is to worship Him and to know Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتَ جِنُّ وَلِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And then the scholars say, لِيَعْبُدُونَ means to يَعْرِفُونَ, to know Allah. So that we can see Allah in everything. Sayyidina Ali, karamallahu wajha, said that I never saw anything except I saw Allah before it, in it, and after it. Because he used to see بِنُورِ. He used to see things before what they really are. Now, again, so that comes to the story of tawakkul. Tawakkul ala Allah. There's a lot of problems we have. It can be financial, it could be in families, it could be our families back home in whichever country we may be coming from. But we need to have tawakkul ala Allah and understand that these things are from Allah. Nothing is happening, not one atom in the universe is moving without the allowance of Allah to allow it to happen and to order it to happen even. So we have to have that tawakkul on Allah. And it's a tough time. We have our brothers and sisters in Syria, our brothers and sisters in Libya, all over the Muslim world being killed. And the funny thing that we should say is, the one killing is saying Allahu Akbar, the one being killed is saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and the ones watching are saying La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So we're all Muslim, but for some reason, their fitna is still there. We now need to calm it down, and inshallah do our best to pray for our brothers and sisters. If we can't do anything physically, we need to pray. We need to pray for them, because, you know, if we can't help financially and sending them things and doing what we can, pray inshallah. This is a day of istighaba inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our prayers and accept our dua and unite us inshallah and remove all the differences between our hearts. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى صحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله. Let's inshallah remember this blessed day of Eid al-Adha. If you were able to do a sacrifice and donate for a sacrifice of a lamb or whichever, whatever you want to do. Some of the scholars say If you have the means to, it's wajib. If you have the means to do it, it's wajib. If you don't have, others say it's sunnah mu'akkada. It's a very highly recommended sunnah. So if you can do it every year, inshallah, it's a good thing. If you can't, it's not a fault. And also, inshallah, if we can do hajj next year, if we have the means to do so, nothing's holding us back, let's do it, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us next year, inshallah, for hajj. And the last thing, inshallah, we want to take from today, for all of us, and this is a sincere advice to me and to everyone here, and taqwa in sirul alaniyah is important, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawbah. And we need to do tawbah, we need it. It's not something you do once, or whenever you do a haram thing which you see as haram. It's a daily thing. Astaghfiruka rabbi wa atubu ilayk. Prophet Muhammad used to do it 100 times a day. And that was Prophet Muhammad ma'soom. He didn't have mistakes. So we need to do tawbah. If you're not praying, try to pray. Try and return to your prayer. If you're lacking in your prayers, try and return. If you don't feel you're on the right path or you're going astray, come back. It's never too late. Whoever pushes you away from this religion, know that it's a shaitan. Not that person isn't shaitan, but they're influenced by satanic influences, pushing people away. If you don't do this, you're careful. No. One of my sheikhs, whoever's from Egypt will know, the Arbagi, person who's very rough and gruff, he used to come by to the mosque, and he was just very aggressive, and he never prayed. So the sheikh said to him, why don't you come and pray? He said, okay, let me see. So he came in one day, and then he prayed dhuhr. And he prayed dhuhr for two rakahs. Everyone said, don't pray dhuhr for two rakahs, it's four rakahs, what are you doing? He said, no, it's two. So the sheikh came and said, what's the problem? He said, these people are telling me that I should pray dhuhr for four rakahs, it's two. He said, okay, it's two. The sheikh saying, yeah, okay, just say it's two. So when the Arbagi left, this rough man, he said to the sheikh, why did he say it's two? He said, whenever you have a donkey, you have to hold it from two legs first. Because if you try and hold it from the other two legs, it will try and run off and it will go crazy. Hold it from the two, and then afterwards you can hold it from the other two and bring it in. Later this man became a qari and a hafiz of Quran, and he used to lead the prayer in Tarawiyah. Because of the hilm, the attitude. That's how we took out the religion from the shiur. If somebody makes you feel that you're not a good Muslim, I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't want to be that. Okay, I won't listen to you again then. I'm a bad person. So who's good? Only you? We need to have the religion from it. We understand that you're, honestly, sit with some of these shiukh and they will explain to you that you could be better than them. Just because he's hafiz Quran or he studied this or studied that doesn't make him a better person. It's all grades. And on the day of judgment, we'll be in shock. We'll see the people, the real grades, who was sincere and who wasn't. So the more we see with these things, inshallah, we can understand and have tawbah and have compassion for others. Never look on others and say, astaghfirullah, this is bid'ah, this is haram, this is kufr. Say, alhamdulillah. Why do we say alhamdulillah? Alhamdulillah, الذي عفانا مما ابتلى به كثير من عبادي. Alhamdulillah, Allah has saved us from a lot which He has inflicted on other people. These sins that people do in life, they're generally tribulations. We could have done it. And the thing is, and one of the scholars said, whenever you see a fault out there, know that it's in you as well. And what does he mean by that? He means that if you were in the same circumstance, you might have done the same as him, maybe worse. I mean, for example, celebrities. Oh, we criticize the celebrities. Oh, they did this, they did that. It's a tough thing to be famous and to have everyone running after you all the time. I wouldn't like it. So imagine if you're in that situation, how would you react? You might be worse. So say alhamdulillah that we're not in that situation. And may Allah protect us and our families and our brothers and sisters. And may Allah guide others. Cause us a guidance for other people. Like the Quran says, لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Don't make us a reason of tribulation for people who disbelieve. Because we could cause them to run away from religion. And many times we've seen this. Many times we've seen people who push people away from that Islam. They're very aggressive people. Somebody might find some one person who's aggressive, but the whole Ummah isn't aggressive. So again, you know, it's a two-way story, but we need to have the characteristics of tawakkul on Allah, the characteristics of hilm, be haleem, forbearing and kind and open-hearted and compassionate. And last but not least, we need to do tawbah on a regular basis. And whenever you feel yourself getting a little bit proud, and you finding people praising you and saying how good you are, and mashallah, remember this dua. Allahumma ja'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun, waghfir li mimma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, make me better than what they think I am, and forgive me for what they don't know I do. اللهم اجعلني خيرا مما يظنون واغفر لي مما لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, make me better than what they assume of me and forgive me for what they don't know. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us on this day of Eid and unite our hearts and bring us together and bring all of the Muslims together inshallah and remove all the fitna from within our hearts and from within the ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our young ones and children to the right path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the means to do so and not cause us to have any problems within our lives which can prevent us from raising our children with dignity and pride and honor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our souls and to forgive our sins. Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins on this day with a sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna wa'afu anna. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna wa'afu anna. اللهم تقبل منا اللهم تقبل منا صلاتنا اللهم تقبل منا ركوعنا اللهم تقبل منا سجودنا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافينا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا اللهم فيما اعطيت اللهم واحد صفوف المسلمين اللهم واحد قلوب المسلمين اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. عيدكم مبارك. May you all have a happy Eid with your families, inshallah. And next year, بإذن الله, we will be united في العرفة, inshallah.